Right now, though, it's time for the ball to drop with our good friend Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. You can find Arthur right here on a Monday morning live, and also we rebroadcast Arthur, and we say good morning and happy new year, Arthur.
And happy new year to you.
You know, it's,
what are you doing tonight?
I'm staying in, but you know what's interesting? I on Facebook this weekend, it was bizarre. Janet Manco, who's the editor of the Lakeville Journal, the local newspaper, she posted about how her daughter was teaching her to make pierogies. So I just posted, well, you know, I make pierogies, and then I make them with potato filling or different cheese fillings, and then I put more melted butter and sautéed onions over them. I'm amazed.
Coming.
I am amazed at how many people responded to those things with families that really love to make pierogies.
I didn't realize that was a New Year's dish.
Neither did I. I mean,
does it have any symbolism in the New Year's dish?
I don't think so. I mean, it didn't to me. I mean, pierogies were when our family got together years ago with big families where we were 50 and 60, the grandmothers always cooked, and there was always pierogies, stuffed cabbage, stuffed peppers, things like that. There was always stuff like that, tons of it. So anyways, happy new year.
Happy new year. I'm not stuffing anything. I've never made pierogies. I've made other enclosed dumplings, you know, well, besides ravioli, there's, what do you call it, Jewish, sorry, my brain is going, it's early in the morning.
Yeah.
All I'm focused on is actually getting to stay up as late as midnight. I'm not sure I can do that. It's rare these days. And I'm going to celebrate tomorrow. We have a friend, a young friend, coming in from, I mean, young, he's under 30, coming in from New Orleans, and he's flying to Hong Kong in a couple of days, where he's going to be, he's a cellist, where he'll be working on a cruise ship that starts its trip in Hong Kong. Nice, right? Not a bad way to spend the new year.
No.
But he's coming here, and he wants a cooking lesson. So I think I will give him a New Year's cooking lesson, and we will make what I usually make, which is pasta and lentils. By the way, you can just make the lentils without the pasta, and I have two wonderful Southern Italian ways to go on that, but I probably will make it with the pasta tomorrow, and I'm not sure what else. I would love to teach him another. Well, he loves Italian food, so that'll be easy. But there's another lentil dish that I sometimes make. Well, I make it a lot during the year, and I sometimes make it on New Year's, and that's lentils with rice, which is Middle Eastern. And in fact, it's supposedly the mess of pottage that Esau sold his birthright for. But I don't think they had rice in that part of the world yet. In biblical times. So maybe it was just the lentils themselves without any of the other starch. So let me quickly, because this is such an easy thing. This is why, besides that I love to eat it, it's so easy to prepare that I make, that's one of the reasons I make it a lot. Plus, it's a healthy dish. So for four people. 3/4 of a cup of lentils. Now, the kind of lentils you use is important. If you use the American lentils, the larger lentil, brown lentils that are grown in the Midwest, excellent lentils, this is not, as to me, an appealing a dish. And the timing that I'm going to give may be a little off, as when you make it with the lentils that maintain their shape. And there are many of these little lentils around. You don't have to pay $17 a pound and buy them from France. I buy Spanish ones. They're called Pardina, P-A-R-D-I-N-A. And Goya packages them in plastic bags. And it's, you know, under $3 a pound probably in your local supermarket. There are other small brown and green lentils in the marketplace. I would go look for them. So anyway, you need 3/4 of a cup of lentils only. And then you're going to add, after you cook them a little bit, you're going to add the seasonings, which are things you probably have in your kitchen already. You don't have to leave the house for it, which is one of the reasons I make this dish a lot, is that it's the last minute decide I want to do this. You put the lentils in five cups. I'm going to be very precise here, but it's not really a precise dish. I mean, you can do this with, make it soupier. The way I'm going to give it to you is reasonably dry, but if you want to make it soupier, you'll end up adding more water at the end, but don't do it now. So 5 cups of water, bring it to a boil, put in your 3/4 cup of lentils, and let them roll for, 20 minutes. I'm going to say 20 minutes. My lentils take 20 minutes. You want them to be not quite done, because to this you're going to cook them a little longer, but you're also going to add pasta that needs to, well, not necessarily. I was going to say add pasta that needs to be cooked alongside them in the same pot, but you actually, depending on the pasta you use, you could cook the pasta separately. In any case, you still want to have 3/4 cup of lentils and 5 cups of water, and when they're almost tender, these are the seasonings you're going to add, but only when they're almost tender. 2 large cloves of garlic, for Jill, maybe one. But it's not going to be overly garlicky, even if you use 2 large cloves of garlic. I crush them with the heel of my hand, and then I chop them up coarsely. If you want to just finely chop them, that's fine with me. Do not put them through a garlic press. Exactly. So 2 cloves of garlic, 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. You're not frying anything. This is a seasoning and a texture thing. 3 tablespoons of oil. 1 cup of, now this depends on what you have. 1 cup of chopped canned tomatoes. Or you could add, which is what I do more often, tomato paste. Because I always have tomato paste. I don't always want to open a can of tomatoes just to put in 1 cup of tomatoes. If you have some leftover tomato sauce in the refrigerator or freezer, you can put in, a 1/2 cup of sauce. But I use 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, something I always have in the house and I use a lot. And then some salt. Now, if you're going to cook the pasta in the same pot, you're going to need at least 2 teaspoons of salt. If you're not going to cook the pasta in the same pot, leave it to 1 teaspoon of salt. You can always add a little later. And then this requires a little hot pepper, so I use about 1/4 teaspoon of hot red pepper flakes. So you throw all of that into the pot with the lentils, and you let that simmer. It doesn't have to boil, but you let it simmer for at least, I would say, 10 minutes, stirring it a few times. Now, depending on the pasta you're going to use, you can use capellini vermicelli, very thin pasta, and you can cook that right in the pot. And if I'm in a real hurry, that's what I do. Not only that, I don't have to clean another pot, but it doesn't take any time at all if you use thin spaghetti, which you're going to break up. I notice now, in Italy, they've always had spaghetti spezzati as a product in the supermarket. You can buy a package of broken spaghetti. Spezzati means broken. But nowadays, I'm seeing it here in the U.S. too. But if not, you break it yourself. And in fact, I think it's sort of fun to break pasta. I wrap it in, I saw this in a movie the other day, and they didn't wrap it in a cloth, but they took a long time doing it. I'm going to wrap it in a clean dish towel and break up the pasta into, let's say, 1, 2, 3-inch lengths. It doesn't have to be anything precise, just broken up pasta. And then after a few minutes of cooking the lentils with their seasonings, I'd add the totally raw pasta. You may have to add a little bit of water as you go along just to keep it moist. And at the very end, I add either very finely minced or snipped parsley, about 2 tablespoons at least, or if I don't have fresh parsley in the house, I would use dried oregano, and I would add that actually at the same time. Dried oregano, I would add at the same time I add the other seasonings. And that's it. If you're going to make this with anything heavier than thin spaghetti or capellini, I suggest you cook it either fully or partially in a separate pot and then combine the two. This, to me, is comfort food of the first order because it's not only, you know, the normal comforting effect of pasta, of starch, but you get the hit of lentils, which are full of protein. So it's a really very well-rounded dish and should start off the new year on the right foot. And lentils are a New Year's specialty in, around the world, actually, because they represent coins.
My grandmother used to make lentils with either cut up ham, or for the kids, she'd make a separate thing, and she'd cut up frankfurters. And boy,
yes, that works very well. Yeah. And by the way, I had another southern Italian, really a Sicilian version of this, is made with pancetta.
That's for me.
Yeah, that sounds.
The Frankfurter is like
what's wrong with Frankfurters?
Emily Katz's father, I believe, was the foreman at the Sabretz factory, and we got to go on a field trip when I was about 11, 10. Uh-huh. And the aroma, that's the fragrance of the pre whatever was.
Yeah.
Then you should see bologna made if you it think that's
it. You've never eaten a hot dog since?
Oh, no, I've eaten hot dogs. And a huge.
You know, they always say this in Washington that you know, making the laws is like watching sausage being.
Exactly.
Not a very appealing process.
No, I'm a huge Hebrew National. You know, it's like there's nothing better to me than a totally burnt hot dog. But never mind, forget that. It's just in my lentils, I would rather have pancetta. Sorry.
Well, it's funny about the eating modes of the day. People scream with glee when you tell them about something that they say, oh, that's vegan. Yeah. That's not why I'm cooking it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm cooking it because it's delicious to eat. It happens not to have any animal products in it. But although I have read somewhere.
Lentils don't come from.
I've read the rationale, but I still don't understand. Some vegans won't eat olive oil. I don't get that. I mean, it's totally plant-based. What, they don't like the way the trees are treated?
I don't know.
Anyway, another favorite lentil dish of mine, and I was only reminded of this the other day. I'm not sure why I was reminded of it. Oh, I know why. Because I was rearranging the shelf, pasta shelf in my... sometimes inspiration comes like this. I was rearranging the pasta shelf in my cupboard, and there was a small bag of leftover egg noodles. I said, oh, just enough to make a pot of rashta, because you only need 4 ounces of egg noodles to make this Lebanese lentil and pasta dish. I discovered, actually quite a while ago, that every book I've ever written has at least a lentil and pasta dish, if not a bean and pasta dish. I mean, I obviously like this food. So in this case, you're going to need a lot more lentils because this serves a whole family. I got this recipe from a homemaker who had 3 children, and she said basically we have to get everybody at the kitchen table in the last moments of preparing this dish because the aroma of listen to this, of mint and garlic and coriander is so intoxicating that I want everybody to enjoy it in the kitchen, and then I serve the dish. So you've got a hint of what this is flavored with. But 2 cups of lentils you will need for this, and this is at least 6 people, and 2 quarts of water. And you boil your lentils again until they're almost tender, which should take about 20 minutes. In the meantime, you're going to fry some onions. So in a large skillet, heat up at least a couple tablespoons of olive oil and 2 onions sliced, about 2 cups of sliced onion, and saute that until the onions are well browned. Now, this takes a good 15 minutes, so... You know, the onions will probably be more or less ready at the same time that the lentils are. Because the onions don't need full attention, take your garlic, 5 cloves, don't worry about this, this may not be for you, Jill, and mash the garlic with some salt. I would say half a teaspoon of very coarse salt helps make it into a paste. And I do this in a mortar and pestle. I like using a mortar and pestle. If you don't want to, you can use the side of your knife and scrape it around the board, and it'll turn into a mash. If you have to use a garlic press, this is the moment to use it. And then you just add the salt. Now, to this paste of garlic, you're going to put in some either fresh coriander. Now, if you have a family that's coriander averse, you can use parsley. But you need a good quarter of a cup of green herb, and you put that in with the garlic, and you mash it around a little bit. And then you put that in mixture in with the sautéed onions and sauté it for a minute or so. Now take some of your liquid from the garlic, from the lentils, and pour it into your onion herb mixture, garlic mixture in the pan, and scrape it all up and pour that back into the lentils and simmer the lentils for another 2 minutes. So now you have extremely well-seasoned lentils. To that, you're going to add just 4 ounces. I know this doesn't sound like very much, but it works. 4 ounces of ordinary supermarket egg noodles. I buy Pennsylvania Dutch brand, and they come in different widths, and I like, for this one, I like the medium width. And you put the noodles into your pot of lentils, and you got to push it down with the spoon so that all the pasta gets covered. And you simmer that. This should not take more than 5 or 6 minutes for these noodles to become cooked. If you have to make it thinner, no problem. You just add a little water. At the very last minute, and this is when you have to have the family gathered around the table, at the very last minute, you add 2 tablespoons, at least, of dried mint. And I rub the mint with the heel of one hand in the palm of the other hand as it goes into the pot. It'll really give your kitchen a beautiful smell. And that's it. Serve immediately. I would serve it with some with the pepper milk, because I think you're going to want some pepper. And, of course, by the way, along the way here, when the lentils have been cooked for a while, make sure that the water is salted enough.
Right.
So, by the way, that recipe called Rashta, R-A-S-H-T-A, is in my book, Soup Suppers. And it's, I have to say, one of the most prepared recipes in that book, at least prepared in my house. And people tell me, oh, I made the rashta. That's such an amazing dish. It is. And, you know, for tomorrow, if you have some people coming over for New Year's Day, it's a great dish because it serves a lot of people. It costs nothing. It's good luck for the new year. It has everything you want in a New Year's dish, Middle Eastern style.
That sounds yummy. Now, can we talk about, for the non-vegans for a second, I always had a friend who made a pork roast. Is that as traditional as...
Well, you know, pork is, in some cultures, pork is... I'm not sure why pork is traditional. I read somewhere, sometime, that pigs, some farmer, correct me if I'm wrong, pigs move forward when they eat, and so it's a new year... omen, you know, we should move forward in the new year. This, I don't know, this could be a Chinese tradition. I'm always learning about, the Chinese have a lot of food symbolism. And also, very similar in some cases to Eastern European Jewish food symbolism. For instance, carrots. Jewish New Year, we eat carrots cut into coin shape to symbolize, well, they're golden because they're carrots, and also they're coins. And Chinese do the same thing. But the other day, I had lunch with a friend and his Chinese wife. His Chinese wife lives in China. He lives here. They get together for several months here and several months there. They have a whole calendar where they get together. But we were in a restaurant. I don't know how. Oh, everybody decided they wanted soup. I wasn't going to have soup because I wanted to leave room for other things. And in this restaurant, besides that, the soups are a meal unto themselves. soup in general is very filling. So I said, my grandfather used to eat soup at the end of a meal. He wanted it after the main course. And I always thought this was sort of idiosyncratic, to say the least, until I found a menu for an old Jewish restaurant on the Lower East Side. And on the top of the menu, it said, soup last, no extra charge. And I'm not sure if that was meant to be a joke, but it was also serious. And a lot of years ago, some woman came up to me. She said, oh, you know, you talk about, on the radio, you talk about your grandfather having soup last. My grandfather also had soup last. He was also from Belarus. They were both from Belarus. So this may be a Belarus thing. And I asked him why, and he said, well, if you have the soup first, it fills you up.
Right.
But if you have it last, it fills in the cracks between the other food.
That seems so normal, because I could never really... I like soup. I don't eat it, but I like... I don't do this, but I like soup at the end, too. Okay, so it's
pork...
Well,
it's Chinese. So my Chinese friend said, oh, that's totally Chinese. We always have, especially at a banquet, we always have soup at the end. And
right.
Noodles, by the way.
Well, Chinese, think about...
For their New Year's, they eat long noodles because it symbolizes long life.
But also think about one of my favorite things on the planet, shabu shabu. You know, which in the end is a soup at the end of eating.
Yeah, at the end after you eat boiled meat.
Yeah, with ponzu sauce and vegetables. It is so delicious.
Ah, okay.
Best food ever. Okay, so here's the deal with pork. If the internet is to be believed.
You know, the internet is not to be believed.
It's a pork and sauerkraut thing. We left out the sauerkraut.
Well, sauerkraut is, I don't know, not in my culture, but in some cultures that is also a
And the reason for the sauerkraut.
And, of course, in the south of the U.S., they also have black-eyed peas and rice.
Right, but this...
I think legumes and rice may be the most common New Year's foods. And speaking of pork, lentils in Italy... The New Year's lentils, by the way, usually you have lentils as the first thing you eat after midnight because, you know, it's the first thing that should go in your mouth is something that symbolizes wealth and prosperity. But it's often served with a pork sausage called cotechino. Cotechino is a sausage made with very gelatinous pieces of the pork that are not normally cooked for their own sake. How is that for euphemism?
Good. Yeah.
And it is a very gelatinous and rich sausage that needs to be cooked for hours because you've got to give time. There's skin in it. Cotechino is little, refers to little skin. Cotica is the skin. And you cook the sausage, and it does result in an extremely rich broth when you boil it. It's a boiled sausage. And the lentils, traditionally, are cooked in that very gelatinous broth. I find that's too heavy. So I have cooked cotechino for New Year, but I cook it separately. And I must say that mostly... What we get is not fresh cotechino. It's hard to find a fresh cotechino. I was thinking about calling around today and see if I could. It's possible. But there is pre-cooked cotechino, which only needs to be basically heated through. You know, maybe it takes a half an hour. It still results in a very nice broth, even if it's a pre-cooked cotechino that needs to just be recooked. I might find one of those today, and I'll do that tomorrow. I happen to love cotechino, but not everybody does. So I stopped making it a few years ago when I realized that nobody was really eating it. They liked the idea of it, but they didn't really want to eat it. I like to eat it. And by the way, it's frequently eaten with mustard fruits, something spicy and acidic and sweet all at the same time to cut through that really gelatinous, fatty sausage.
I don't know.
Make myself hungry talking about it.
You kind of make me hungry.
So I think I have to get on the phone and see where I can get a cotechino today. The Italian butchers will be open today.
Yeah, it should be, right?
Yeah, the butchers should be open today. I mean, I think everything's open today. Everything food is open today. I gotta say, I was trying to think in preparation for talking to you about New Year's, I was trying to think, what's my most memorable New Year? And it still is, after this, I don't know, 35 years, the most depressing New Year I ever had, when I was really feeling sorry for myself that I had nothing to do. But somebody had given me a tin of really good caviar, Sevruga caviar, and I also had other Christmas leftovers, like a box of chocolates. And I remember I decided, all right, I'm just going to go to sleep and sleep through this. But every time I woke up, I would have a little bit of caviar and a dessert chocolate, and then I'd go back to sleep again. Until I woke up in the morning, the caviar was almost gone, and the chocolates were all gone. So, and I think the caviar in the morning, I just love caviar, but I rarely treat myself to great caviar. And just having it on buttered toast is perfect for me.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. I think we grew up here.
Somebody said, how do you eat caviar? I said, with a spoon.
Yeah, exactly. Naked. No, I've watched people do this whole production. I'm like, just give me that.
No, although I'm very, I've been making waffles a lot lately.
Waffles?
Waffles, because I have two little nieces, great nieces, who I like to cook with and for, and I know they love waffles. So I made, in preparation for becoming the waffle uncle, I was making a whole bunch of different recipes, including the one I made for years, and now I have a new recipe I make with waffles. Anyway, I'm really bringing this up because there was a couple of days here where I thought I was having people in tonight, and they all decided to do nothing, like me. I was relieved. But I was going to make waffles, and since I can't afford to treat everybody to Sevruga or Beluga caviar, I was going to make waffles with sour cream and salmon caviar as a little nibble. Doesn't that sound good?
No.
What part don't you like, Mark? The caviar part?
He doesn't like the roe. He doesn't like roe.
Oh, well, what about with some smoked salmon?
He doesn't like smoked salmon.
I don't like salmon either. That's funny.
What would you put on your waffle that isn't sweet?
Well, I never liked waffles until one year. We had a sales manager, Drew Wilder. He couldn't do anything in life, but you know what he could make? Incredible waffles. Belgian waffles.
Right, but with Marshall, it has to be. See, one of my favorite pancakes.
Strawberries and whipped cream.
Yes, yeah, it's like, what
yeah,
is
yeah, it? Oh, I like sweet waffles too.
I don't. It's like that kind of makes me gag.
We have to waffle out of here.
Now, my mother's favorite food.
Don't.
I'm sure it was her favorite food. I never asked her, but she always ordered this in diners and coffee shops. And rarely we had it at home. It was a treat. It's waffles and ice cream. You don't like waffles and ice cream?
No. No, I don't like waffles and sweet. I don't like sweet.
Waffles and fried chicken.
Well, I was going to say waffles, and I made waffles with chicken a la king a couple weeks ago. We like chicken a la king here, meaning cream chicken. And I giggled to myself the other day when I was reading something about 21, the restaurant, often called 21 Club.
Right.
And one of their big dishes from dates back to Prohibition, when they opened it as a speakeasy, is what they call on the menu chicken hash.
Right.
Happy
Lots
New
of
Year
love
to everybody.
Everybody.
Happy healthy New Year is most important.
Lots of lentils and
lots
sauerkraut.
Lots of lentils and whatever else
floats your boat.
Feel as good luck for the New Year.
All right.
Happy New Year, Arthur.
Talk to you next
Take
year.
Care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robinhood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful T-shirts. teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, HavenCafeBakery.com.